Well, are we close to an agreement on the debt ceiling, or are we not close? It depends on who you talk to in Washington at this point. But time is running out. There's that August 2nd deadline looming in front of us. And in the meantime, there's a lot of philosophical differences on basic principles, how to solve the deficit problem, and even who does the deficit belong to. Yesterday, we brought on an economist, Pippa Malmgren. She's a former financial market advisor to George W. Bush. She worked there in the 2001-2002. She spoke with us yesterday and said we could solve this entire problem very simply by working 10 more years. And you volunteered, right, John? I mean, you said, yeah, sure.
Well, it just shows that the wealth of the American workforce is a real flexibility deliverer to the U.S. economy compared to Europe. I think that's what she was saying. If we all work 10 years longer, the revenue from that would erase $14.2 trillion, because that's the size of our economy. That's our GDP for 1 year, $14 trillion or so.
Right. We've gotten a lot of responses on this, and we want to get more of them. Give us a call at 8778-MY-TAKE, or you can text the word TAKE to 69866. But we want to run some of these numbers and proposals by Mike Munger, a professor of political science and economics at Duke University. Good morning again, Mike.
Good morning.
First of all, that the proposal of letting people work 10 years extra, that's complicated by the unemployment rate at this point, right?
I like the way you said that, letting people work 10 years longer. there was a study in 2007 by the Urban Institute that said if people would delay retirement by 5 years, that would be an additional $1 trillion of tax revenue, and that would basically solve the Social Security problem per year. So if we extended the retirement age by just 5 years, now letting them that's not right. There's two problems as I see it. One is you have to be employed in order to keep working,
right?
And it's going to be much harder as people get older for them to keep their jobs. And the worst thing about it is if you're a college professor like me, you can work, if you can call it that, forever. If you're a stevedore, you work outside, you're unloading boxes, at some point it becomes physically difficult. And so the original conception of Social Security was to say, this is a backup, this is insurance. So people who find it difficult to continue to work, this is a kind of substitute, a subsistence pension. But now we have the idea of retirement. So let's used to live in Flagstaff. I used to live in Florida. There are retirement communities now, guys with really deep tans, gold chains on their neck, Viagra in their medicine cabinet. They have expectations about what's going to happen. They're going to retire, and they have another life. Politically, I'm not sure it's possible to let people work for 5 more years.
Yeah, it would never appeal to the gold chain-wearing, Viagra-popping constituency. Mike Munger is a professor of political science and economics at Duke University. A nice memory there on remembering Flagstaff, Mike, by the way. But I wanted to read you another response from one of our listeners. This is John in Brooklyn. He says, raise your hand if you want to work 10 more years to pay down the debt. What? Why should I work 10 more years to pay down debt that the banks created through the irresponsible securitizing of debt? You and I don't own this debt, nor are we responsible for it. Let the banks and hedge fund owners who own the debt take a haircut. So what about it, Mike? Who owns this debt?
We own the debt now because the U.S. government decided that they were going to take it over. They were the ones who bailed out the bank, and they are us. So politically, the debt does belong to us now.
Well, but how much of the $14.2 trillion deficit is a part of the financial meltdown bailout? I mean, it's not the whole thing, right?
It's actually a fairly small amount. The big problems that we have that no one will talk about in Washington, I don't know why, Social Security, Medicare, and military spending. Those are the things that are running up the deficit.
All right, but we are talking about it. Let me read you another response. Jazz David says, only someone with a fat 401k or IRA or millions in the bank can casually, yet apparently sincerely, suggest we all work an extra 10 years. Why not delay Medicare another 10 years, too? That would take care of a few million more seniors who'd be uninsured and likely to drop dead for lack of medical attention. Think of the savings. I suspect he's being sarcastic there, but yeah, I mean, Medicare is a source for some savings.
Medicare is something that's going to be very difficult for us to touch. What happens is that 40% of Medicare spending are in the last year of an elderly person's life. And in many cases, you've got somebody that it's not really going to affect them much. And so we've got somebody with congestive heart failure who's going to die in 12 months. Because of Medicare, they last 15 months. There's an extra 3 months on a respirator that costs $75,000 or $100,000. But we're not giving poor women prenatal care during their pregnancies. So there's something wrong with our priorities if we're spending 40% of our government medical care in the last 1 year of a person's life.
All right. So, Mike Munger, I mean, you must, you know, for kicks or for tricks at a party, maybe, you probably sit there and solve the debt crisis in your spare time, right?
Absolutely. You jest, Celeste, but of course we do that.
I know. I absolutely believe that somebody like yourself, a professor of political science and economics, sits down and does this. I could never figure it out, but you can. So answer this for me, Mike. Is there a simple solution, or is the solution in the end going to be something that makes everybody miserable?
Well, the easiest thing to do is means test Social Security. We've never done that. That is, people who have the 401k don't get Social Security benefits. Let's make Social Security a social program that really is just for insurance. As it is, everybody gets it, and that's how we tried to ensure universal political support. The problem was that at the time that Social Security was instituted, the expected age of death was 64, and now it's 80. So we've got to move the retirement age up. Right now it's 67 for full, 62 for partial. We could move that up by 3 or 4 years and means test it.
Well, but Mike, look at the numbers they're talking about. They're talking about $4 trillion in savings, $3.7 trillion in savings behind the deals there, behind the doors in Washington. They must be talking about means testing, right?
I don't think that they are. I think that they're thinking that those are over 10 years. That's not per year.
Ah.
And so if you could be over 100 years and it would be a really big number. They're not actually solving the problem. What we have to do is get to the point where we're not adding to the problem per year. So
can we solve this, Mike, with cuts? Or in the end, do we also have to increase revenue?
Oh, I think politically, the compromise that's going to be required is an increase in revenue because we're asking people to sacrifice. This is both sides now. It's like professional wrestling where hold me back, and then President Obama's going to hit somebody with a folding chair.
There is a simple solution, though, Mike, and I can't believe you haven't even mentioned it.
Tell me, John.
It's trivial. It's so simple. China writes a check. The end.
All we have to do is default once, and we'd have tons of money. The problem is it would be hard for us to borrow, and China would have a really grumpy emoticon beside their website.
Mike Munger, professor of political science and economics at Duke University. Intimidated by emoticons. Mike Munger, thanks so much.
You bet.
If you also solve the debt problem as part of your party games, give us a call and tell us what the simple solutions are. 877-8-MY-TAKER. Post your comment to thetakeaway.org.
And at 15 minutes after the hour, let's step away from solving the biggest financial crisis in the universe and look at some other headlines. Syria's third largest city has been attacked by the army, according to reports we're getting. Activists say troops opened fire on densely populated parts of homes. The city has been the site of major demonstrations against President Bashar Assad, and we've been reporting on it all week long. This morning, our partner, the New York Times, reports on one of the songs that's become an anthem of the protest movement. The name of the song is Come On, Bashar, Leave, gaining popularity throughout the country. Another round of protest against President Assad's regime is planned for today. Yemen's defense minister, a senior leader of al-Qaeda in Yemen, has been killed in fighting in the country's south, according to the defense ministry. We're going to have more on the situation in Yemen later on in the hour. And more details on what led to a record number of illegal immigrants being deported from the U.S. last year from Immigration and Customs Enforcement data being released today. Arrests for drunk driving, minor traffic violations, and immigration violations led the U.S. to deport more than 390,000 people last year. Federal Election Commission says former Senator John Edwards should repay the U.S. Treasury more than $2 million of public financing from his 2008 presidential campaign. An FEC audit found the campaign understated its cash and overstated its expenses. An attorney for Edwards says he will appeal that decision. You're listening to The Takeaway, where you can always reach us on Twitter. That's twitter.com/The Takeaway. Coming up, we talk to Matthew Engel, a British journalist for The Guardian newspaper, who wrote about the way Americans use the English language. And apparently, the Brits don't like it much. And they're very upset about it.
Oh, bugger that.
Yes, so fierce debate on Americanisms. Think of your own, won't you? And call us at 877-8-MY-TAKE.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.